Greetings to Podcastville. The Church of What's Happening Now is brought to you by Harry's. Let me tell you something. You know how come I love shaving with a Harry's razor? The closest of the shave, the comfortable glide, the blades. You know what? My skin is nice and smooth. I can shave every 3 days, every 4 days. I don't know, because that's how good of a shave you get. Harry's is so confident. You're going to love their blades. They're going to give you a free trial shave set for free. You hear me? Free. When you sign up at harrys.com/church, you just pay for shipping. That's it. You claim your free trial offer from Harry's today. $13 value. Gratis. Free. When you sign up, just cover the shipping. You're going to get a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, and rich lathering shave gel and a travel blade cover. That's what you're going to get. So go get your free trial set up at harrys.com/church right now. That's harrys.com/church. How good was the food you got from Blue Apron this week?
It's always delicious.
What did you get this week?
I had steak and potatoes. I had my Mediterranean chicken and another chicken dish. It was delicious.
This is what I'm talking about. Blue Apron is the leading meal kit delivery service in the U.S. And while many people know what we do, many don't know about the types of meals you could eat when you cook with Blue Apron, like strip steak with potatoes, spicy maple collard greens, a steakhouse-inspired favorite with a delicious twist, chili-infused maple syrup. All that is tremendous. What we're going to do is this. Blue Apron's treating you, the church family, to $30 off your first order if you visit blueapron.com/church. That's blueapron.com/Joey. Forget the church. Joey. /Joey, blueapron.com/Joey. So check out this week's menu and get your $30 off blueapron.com/Joey. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Kick that motherfucking meal, Lee. February 12th. We ain't fucking around. It used to be Abe Lincoln Day, but they fucked us in the ass. So now it's just February 12th. What? Oh shit, sitting here. Oh, you talking to your best friend. Oh shit, Ali Sadiq, the Christ killer, and your Uncle Joey in the same motherfucking room with a partner and shit. He's bringing my partner in from Houston, my baby boy. Fucking Christ. That's as fucking smooth as it gets. Ali Sadiq and this motherfucker. We started this conversation off on the wrong foot, and I'm very sorry. Ali knows how to get my blood pressure going. I don't want to hear about the Richard Pryor. This is all bullshit. This is just to show you people the type of people we have in the Hollywood Quincy Jones didn't get molested. Did Harvey Weinstein stick a finger up his ass? Did anybody molest him? Oprah suck his dick? So he just decided just to get on the microphone and spill shit about people that he got no business talking about. Marvin Gaye's dead. He ain't even around to protect himself. Richard Pryor dead. He ain't around to protect. Why you got to tell people he sucked Marlon Brando's dick? You know how many people threw away the Godfather yesterday? You know how many motherfuckers got up and just threw away the Godfather? Fuck that fag motherfucker.
Really? They take it that seriously?
Yeah, that's Vito Corleone.
Who took it more seriously, the Marlon Brando fans or the Richard Pryor fans?
People know Richard Pryor had this problem. African Americans, they know. They ain't stupid. Every African American will tell you, man, Richard Pryor's cool as shit. You know, he had his demons. I know for a fact, I read in one of the books, Paul Mooney sucked his dick. Now, Paul Mooney's one of my mentors. Period. Paul Mooney's one of my mentors. You know what? When I see Paul Mooney, I don't even think about him sucking his dick or Richard sucking his dick. Like, that's how much I love Paul Mooney. It don't matter to me. But don't be spreading rumors about Richard Pryor fucking outside the fucking, Paul, you know. Yeah.
The Paul Mooney circle. Yeah, don't go outside.
That's it.
You know, you fuck Paul Mooney, that's it. That's all we give you. We give you one.
You know.
But this Will Harp, I don't know who he is. This Wilbert Harp. Yeah, Richard did a whole bit about him fucking Wilbert Harp and sending him flowers. So, I don't know.
What, you know the story about what happened?
I know the lockers. He did this whole bit. This is the one when he
was... Well, they said that at his mother's brothel, he had to do oral sex on men from time to time. Oh, do I want to hear that about Richard Pryor?
Not at all.
That's how deep his fucking pain was. No wonder the motherfucker was throwing fucking crack on himself and lighting himself on fire. Think about what that motherfucker did. That guy was in deep pain. But the story about the Hollywood Bowl, when he did the gay benefit.
When he did the
and
benefit.
He went up there and started going off on him. Like, almost ruined his career, bro.
Because he thought it was a human rights thing. And then what happened was backstage... It was only one other African American group that was performing. It was this pop lock group called the Lockers, and the Lockers wouldn't nobody help them. They wouldn't assist. The stagehands wouldn't assist them. It was like racism at its finest. And so Richard decided he was gonna bait the audience in, and then turn on them right in the middle because how they treated the Lockers from the story that I read. And, you know, I don't know how true it is. I just know,
right,
Richard had his things. And my thing was, Quincy shouldn't have decided after all this time to talk about people that can't defend. You're not supposed to speak ill of the dead. You know, one, it hurts the people who are alive that love them. And two, they're not here to defend themselves. So Quincy, if he did fuck Marlon Brando, you know, that's between him and the Godfather.
Ali, can you explain something to me? Because I just don't know. I've heard the term, and I just don't know what it means. Like the down low. I know it's a thing that happens, but is that what Richard Pryor was? Is that considered the down low? What Richard Pryor was doing? Because isn't it gay sex? That's what I thought.
I don't really know the significant how the down low works. It's not a part of my life. But Richard was not on the down low. The down low is something where you doing something behind somebody's back. Richard was on the out. He was on the outro. He was in the out front. Yeah. That's what Richard was on. Richard was on the out front. But the whole thing is, hey, whatever he did, he did. Whatever. But Marvin Gaye is still my favorite artist. It doesn't change any of the songs for me. You got to get off. What's going on? It don't change any of the songs. I'm not throwing away my Richard Pryor albums or my Richard Pryor shirt. And my Godfather is definitely safe. As long as I have a VCR. Because I have it on VHS.
You went old school.
I that's when I first got it.
Is it on like two VHS tapes?
Yeah, it's on like two.
It was
a box. You know, it was a three box set.
One movie.
You know... I know for a fact that Marlon Brando went crazy at the end. He had to. He was living in this world. Tonight I was watching something when I got home. I had to go to Weight Watchers, and I took my daughter and my wife with me after school, and then we went home. When I got home, Prince was on, the autopsy of Prince.
That's a show?
Yeah, the autopsy is a show. It was that tonight, Whitney Houston and some white, and John Belushi.
Yeah.
It was like a lineup tonight of fucking drugs and... They were talking about what's going to happen next Monday. Next Monday, they're going to do an expose on Prince. And that he was having a hard time because... And you hear this shit and people go, well, you know, he's a fucking loser. How can you be lonely with $1 million? he said that he couldn't believe how famous he was made him as lonely as he was. This is a guy that fucked Sheena Easton. He fucked, what's his name? That's why, what do you think all the problems? Why do you think that dude's still mad, Alec Baldwin? Why do you think Alec Baldwin's mad, angry?
I have no idea. Because
he found out Kim Basinger just sucked Prince's dick.
Woo!
Kim Basinger used to fuck Prince, dog.
Prince a bad
dude.
Supposed
to be the first Batman.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Supposed to be Batman. They pulled that deal out on him, had to be the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Prince was a bad dude.
Prince was a bad dude. But, you know, guys, all that shit comes from when we grow up, when you grow up, that pain, that darkness. Look how Prince grew up. Like, God, look how Prince went out. Guys like you and me were like, well, that motherfucker had the world by the balls. Look how they went out. Look how they fucking went out. They had so, Michael Jackson had so much fucking pain, that kid went crazy at the fucking end. That motherfucker was shooting up fentanyl by the fucking IV. Marlon Brando, they told that motherfucker, get in shape for Apocalypse Now. He showed up 400 pounds. That's why they only shot him from the head up and shit. You're supposed to be a Marine, not a fucking cheeseburger. You were supposed to be a badass Marine. You were supposed to get a trainer. That motherfucker told him, fuck you. Then he moved to the island. And then they were sending him scripts. He wanted $100,000 to read an island, read a script.
That's a good deal.
$100,000 he wanted to read your fucking script. So if you call Marlon up and said, I got a script for you, he'd say, bitch, send over $100,000. And you want me to come off the island? Oh, that's something completely different. You want me to meet you in Miami? That's another 100 G's and shit. Like, he was pimping heavy. You lose your mind, bro. These people will make you lose your fucking mind here after a while. If you don't have people close to you that have you can keep you grounded in this game, bro, this shit will suck you up and spit you out. You start believing your own fucking lyrics.
Mm-mm.
If I blow smoke up your ass every fucking day, you know what that does to you? That means you do nothing wrong.
Every day?
Every day. That's what these people do to you. They blow smoke up your ass.
I witness it.
Marlon Brando went crazy at the end. Half of these fucking people go crazy. James Dean went crazy. Look at what's happening now in Hollywood. Every week somebody else wants motherfucking attention for getting felt up by Harvey Weinstein and shit. Guy was worth $20 million. He could have just fucked the hooker and shot her in the head. Like, dog, what's going on in your life? What's going on in your life? Nothing. I got three kids and shit. I lost my custody battle. Well, listen, how about we get those kids $100,000? How about I just fucking fuck the shit out of you fucking the ass? Don't I have to sign a waiver? Not in this deal. In this deal, we just shoot you. Nobody knows nothing. Dead men don't tell tales. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
Because this is the shit that goes on now. Now you got to hear for fucking a year. Rose McGowan. We were talking about that poor white bitch. Have you seen her lately, dog? It's like she went into a room with 1,000 dicks. And everybody just hit her in the head with dick after dick until she got PTSD. That bitch could be a Pittsburgh Steeler. I was surprised she don't shoot herself with a Pittsburgh Steeler jersey.
Oh, my God.
That crazy bitch. It's one of those nights, people. Alisa Deak is going deep on that edible and shit. I got to show you something. I got to show you something. Can you put the video on for Village People YMCA. What was the last time you watched this, Alisa Deak?
I ain't never watched it.
Oh, my fucking God. Oh, my God.
It's the music video?
Yeah, my daughter asked me.
Oh, I've seen it on.
My daughter.
They used to play it on MTV, didn't they? A lot.
Yeah, my daughter doesn't understand. Like, she didn't know. She asked me. She said one of the kids in her school got two daddies. So she came up to me at like 5 o'clock. She fucked my world up with that question. That's worse than Jeopardy, Doug. I'm like 0-22 on Jeopardy every night. She fucked my world up. So the only thing I could do was to show her this video. Of YMCA. Watch this fucking video. This is 1978. This is with faggots with faggots. I want you to see the commitment. I want you to see the commitment.
I really wish. Like, I'm just so amazed that this is parenting. Like, okay, how am I going to explain gay people?
So I showed her fucking this video, and she got pissed because they don't invite girls to the YMCA.
They don't want to be at the YMCA.
Watch this. Put the music on and watch this video. Can play the music for my friend here so he understands what's going on the outside.
It's going to fuck, yeah.
Watch this shit. Watch these motherfuckers. See, this one gay was gay. Look at this. Look at the white dude. Lee, the white dude, the biker you would suck his dick. Look at him. What? Look at him. What? There's no need to be- The skinny black dude at the end, he already got the HIV. Look, he's skinny. He's missing his beats. Watch him. Look at him. He looks like Arsenio. And back to the... Look at him. Look at him at the end with the army suit on. There's a place
you can go. I said, young man. Oh, my God. When you're short on your dough, you can stay there. And I'm sure you will find
many ways to Look at Marlon Brando. It's fun to stay at the... Are you kidding me, Alisa D? We gotta do this video over. Me, you, and some hard-hitting brothers. You know what I'm saying?
Isn't it about gay sex, though?
It's about something.
That's the dirtiest mustache I ever
Can you believe that? You know how much cum he got on that mustache? You smell his mustache, you get pregnant.
Oh, my God.
I love this fucking song. I love them. I love them. I love them with all my heart. I don't care what anybody calls me.
I don't think we knew what the song meant.
It means go to the YMCA. You want to get your dick sucked? They'll feed you. They'll clean your ass. And you'll get fucked in the ass, too. Here you go. You today. Here we go. This is when my daughter got pissed. You can hang out with all the boys. It's fun to after she got pissed about it. She's like, Daddy, he's not saying girls. I said, that's my point. Alright, put on In the Navy now. They had three jams.
Were they all about gay sex?
Dog. Oh, my God. So they sang a song about the Navy. That's why people were joining the Navy for a long time. They were saying that if you were in the Navy, you were gay. You were in the witness relocation plan for dick if you joined the Navy.
Oh, my God.
It's right there. And I swear to God, dog, for a long time. Then they sang this song, and that's what it fucked people up. Watch In the Navy. You never seen this either, Leo? Starry.
I've heard the
Look
ones,
at this.
Yeah.
They already got a submarine going up your ass.
That I've means- heard this. They don't want the girl. Oh, they want.
That Kelsey grandma?
Yeah. Fucking crazy. Sign up for the big band or sit in the grandstand. Wait for Tina Dunn's knee. In the Navy. Sail the seven seas. In the Navy. Put your mind at ease. Fall and make a stand. In the Navy. Can't you see we need a hand? In the Navy. I put on Macho Man now. Watch Macho Man, Alisa D. This is fucking crazy.
I don't have to worry about you, Joey. What's going on? Why?
I'm telling you, dog.
Why do you know all these?
Because I showed my daughter the fucking video when she asked me about the two men. I didn't know what else to fucking do. I had to think about it for a few fucking hours. And this is all I can come up with. I ain't original like fucking most white people and shit. I got to think deep. I didn't know what to tell her. And I was always scared of this shit.
Macho Man. Do they always
man.
Wear like these like costumes?
And watch the song is badass. Watch the body, body, wanna feel my body. Watch this.
And did you know that they were gay back then?
Listen, Lee, watch. Look at body, baby.
It's like a Tybo commercial.
This is fucking craziness.
So this is how you explain to your
daughter about
she came home and said,
yeah.
Somebody in my class got two men.
Yeah.
Two fathers. Okay, let me tell you what's going on.
I didn't
look
know.
At these two, look at these three videos.
I showed her your YMCA because she swims at the Y.
Oh, my
and
God.
And she goes to ballet at the Y, so I want to know what's crack-a-lacking in the men's bathroom so she never walks in there and shit.
That's fucking crazy.
Who's ready for another edible?
No. So wait, did you guys know they were gay back then? Like, well, you had to,
not,
right?
Not at all.
Yeah, I do it. I did. I was fucking 13, 14. Yeah, I fucking knew.
You had to know. Oh, my God.
I was a little younger.
I stayed away from the YMCA. Like, I didn't fuck with the YMCA at all.
See, that's
put on Vanity 6 real quick there. Remember
that's
this
1978.
One?
Nasty Girl?
Yeah, Nasty Girl. Oh, shit. Look at this shit.
See, now, look at the age on on this one.
Yeah, Pimp. What's his name? Banged her too.
Prince. Yep.
Prince banged her too.
Look at the year on this.
This is 81.
So I was ready.
So was I. Look at this. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Como la de maí. Man, ese culo. Ay, Dios mío. Te meto la lengua y me roto el culo. Y te vuelvo loca. Ay, Dios mío. Esa bestecita en la chocha.
And it's 6. Boy, she was amazing.
Yeah, she was amazing. Look at her.
Shit. That's right. Pleased to meet you. I still won't tell you my name. Don't you believe in mystery? Don't you want to play my game? I'm looking for a man to love me like I've never been loved before. I'm looking for a man that'll do it anywhere, even on a limousine wall. Cause tonight I'm living in a fantasy. My own little nasty world.
Look at the white one. A porn shoot got canceled. Look at the white one. You know she doesn't match this shit. Look at the white one. Look at this. Ugly as fuck.
Oh my God.
She's fucking up the dance moves.
I think they got more water upstairs than they got sugar on the candy cane. That's right. It's been a long time since I had a man that did it real good. If you ain't scared, take it out. Do it like a real life Misty Girl should.
What?
The one in the pink looked like she at least her first trimester pregnant.
Do it again.
Oh my God. Oof. Oh my goodness. Now put it back on. Look at her. Oh shit. Look at the white one. See, she fucked up right. Look at her. Look at her. She does meth. She does meth. There's no way she's in that band. That chick is straight up ugly like a motherfucker. You might as well put me back there. But look at the little Chinese one in the back. She's rocking. That little Chinese ho-ho there, she's fucking on fire. Look at the white one with those ballet stockings on. I hate that shit. It's like going to Hooters. That little one with the white arm, those are the ones you find at in Houston. Those are the trafficking ones. They got those massage parlors. You go in there, the bitches are crying. They're sending postcards and shit.
Oh, my God. They're sending postcards that never get delivered.
Oh, mama, son.
That's the biggest problem for human trafficking of Asian women is Houston, Texas.
That's a damn shame.
They got thousands of those massage parlors outside in 832.
How do they get the Asian women to Texas? Like, why is that?
Well,
I think
they drop them
friends.
Off in Galveston.
Oh,
they fucking bring them in a ship. They beat them. They give them a can of tuna between 18 of them, and they fucking take the journey. And they drop them off at Galveston. You ever see them land in Galveston? It's like fucking a war.
Oh, my God.
They drop them off. They got to swim. Chinese people drowning and shit. It's a fucking nightmare. That's why Chinese people always drown in Galveston. People don't know that shit. I'm dropping knowledge on you right now.
He probably isn't wrong. There probably is like 18 Asian unexplained Asian drownings in the Texas area.
Next time you're high, watch fucking Nat Geo and watch human trafficking episode. They shoot it in fucking H-Town in Houston, motherfucking Texas.
And I know that's true, but I'm trying to figure out where all these drowned Chinese people come from.
Even when the floods this year, they found a bunch of
Now they found a bunch of people drowned in the floods. Now that's true.
That's fucked up.
That's true.
But in Galveston, they find Chinese people. That means they come up in the boat and they make them run and they fucking drown. Then they find them in Louisiana. Like, how the fuck these Chinese people get here? We got a 23andMe now. We got to do like one of these fucking, one of these DNA tests. See where these motherfuckers came from and shit. But then that costs too much money. So they just bury them. They don't give a fuck.
There's just a mass grave somewhere of of unnamed Asian prostitutes. I love it, and you're doing that better now, Ali. But like, for a minute, you almost had a Dean Del Rey moment with the edible. Like during the beginning of the podcast, he was like talking to himself with his hand over his face.
No, I was going over lines in my head, and then I realized when you touched me, I realized like, oh, I'm going over lines in my head. He don't realize it.
What lines so are you I going over? Doing.
Over this, man, I gotta remember this script, man. And this is not going well, man.
What script?
This script they sent me yesterday. So I gotta remember this thing.
You auditioning when?
Oh, tomorrow at 2:00. What time?
Okay, you got plenty of time. So how many pages do you have to read tonight?
Five.
Very fucking easy. How many scenes in five pages?
Five
scenes in five pages, correct? Yeah. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to take the character and give him a fucking first, middle name, and a last name. And even though the character breakdown says something, you're going to give that motherfucker your own breakdown because they're looking for him dressed up as Ali Sadiq. And then you're going to take the five sides tomorrow morning when you wake up. Don't fuck with it tonight because you're just going to waste your fucking time tonight. You ain't going to retain nothing, so you're just wasting your time. You might as well watch fucking Blackula or something, you know, something.
You should do one take tonight, though.
Get out, something. No, don't even look at it tonight. It's waste of time. You look at it in the morning and you look at it sober and you think about it and then you smoke and you give that motherfucker color. When you smoke reefer, while you're looking at, and I'm not playing with you.
I'm listening.
This is how I booked 1,000 fucking movies because I give that character a name, a middle name, and then, you know, because they'll only tell you his character's name is Shifty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Shifty got to have a life before that fucking day.
How do you make it up?
That's imagination. That's where Marlon Brando was a fucking genius. So when you go in a room, you know who the fuck you are. The beauty about Marlon Brando was he didn't know his lines. Since we're talking about Marlon Brando, let's give him the flip side of the coin. Marlon Brando never knew his lines. He didn't need to. He knew the character. Jesus. Once you know the character, the lines will come to you. All he needs is a couple sets and words. Boom, boom, boom. And he'll remember that whole thing. Because he doesn't need to know the lines if you know the motherfucking character. You know what the motherfucker's thinking. And you think about the moment before and the moment after that scene, what that motherfucker's thinking, and that shows in your eyes when you go into the audition. And that's what comes through the tapes. And that's how I book those big movies all the time. I don't fuck around in those movies, but I got a system.
So do you I don't know what I'm forgetting what the term is, but when like Daniel Day-Lewis or anyone stays in character,
I don't play
you
don't
that do that?
No, that's fine.
You don't have
them
call you the name?
That's for white people.
Okay.
You might as well join Scientology. Look, you think Ice Cube does that? You think Queen Latifah did that or Ice-T or Ice Cube? They came from a different place called hunger. That's what taught them how to act because you learn how to act in the street, how to make money as a child. Mm-hmm. So that's the place you're coming from, hunger and fucking pain. These people who have to be character all day, that's great. That works for you. But I'll smack you in the fucking face. When I talk to you, you look me in the eye, bitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, you hear about these movies with these high-budget movies that these people parade themselves. I understand that dude that played Batman. That dude, a friend of mine, did a movie with him, and he goes, "Dog, I didn't hear the accent until after the movie was shot at the premiere." He goes, "I spent 13 weeks with that dude. He played American the whole time." Who played Batman?
Give me one
That's
second.
That's the best white dude out right now. American Hustle. Oh, yeah. That white dude could act his ass off.
Christian Bale, yeah.
Christian
absolutely.
Bale? That dude could act his ass off. With that Daniel Day-Lewis bullshit that he tricks all these people from fucking Beverly Hills with, blood will drain. I'll smack you, dog. You weigh 180 pounds. What are you going to do? When he did Gangs of New York, I'll stab you 2 times in the fucking eyeball. You know what I'm saying? Don't come at me with that shit. But there's people that just act. They just make a big deal about it. So you come out here and pay $300 a month and think they're doing some magic trick with you. That's all this is. As long as you know that motherfucking character, those 5 pages will come to you. But you know what? That's not what you came here to talk about. You came here to talk about a fucking accomplishment that I'm very proud of you. Because in a way, it's like going home.
Definitely.
Your special is coming out on the 23rd. What's the name of it?
Ali Sadiq Presents Is Bigger Than These Bars.
All right. So give me the rundown from A to Z. What made you go back to a prison to shoot your special?
Actually, this one is in a jail with people who are imprisoned and they waiting to go
to a halfway out
to a real prison.
Oh.
And they just come off of trial or they waiting awaiting trial. And I went back in there because Texas is real sensitive about how they're viewed in public. So, you know, you notice they're not on lockup or anything. They give me all these bullshit excuses about why I couldn't come back into the actual prison. You can put me in prison, but I can't come back in to shoot the special to show the redemption of a prisoner. And they their excuse was they didn't want me to say anything negative about the prison. And my thing was, you know, and I asked, I said, well, I'm going to say the word prison, and you tell me all the positive words that come to your mind once I say the word prison. And, you know, it was this thing with them, man, that, you know, so I didn't want that to stop me. So I changed up a lot of the material, and we went in to this jail, and then I shot it from an angle of, you know, people being mentally locked up that ends them up being physically locked up, and the difference between being in jail and being in prison, and me coming from being in prison, having to come through the jail system in order to get to prison, how I walked the way backwards, you know, through all of that to come back and show them, hey, look, even if it's your first time ever here, or it's you've been here a lot of times, you know, it can stop right here. You don't have to keep this cycle of coming back and forth to prison or putting yourself in this disposition.
Bro, and nobody knows more than you and I about once you get in that system, you a goner. You're in there every 3 years for something else. They got you. And the system is prepared. It's failure. It's not their fault. It's everybody's fault. It's not their fault. But you and I both know how lucky we are that we got out of the system and stayed the fuck out of the system.
Yeah.
That's a tough thing to do once you're in the system. Yeah, you can't shake it. I couldn't shake it. It started for me in 1983 and it went all the way to 1990 fucking six. 97, knock on wood, for 14 years I was in a fucking system. At one point I was always on fucking probation, constantly.
But you were still doing all the stuff you would do,
doing whatever the fuck I was doing. Remember, even after I came out of prison, I was still tipping on the fucking scale with this divorce and the ex-wife and them taking the kid, and I was tipping on it. And I had two felonies and I went and smacked them with the second felony, just because of my belief. I didn't care. If I'm going to go to jail, I'm going to go to jail. Look, they dropped the charge because you can't say an ethnic slur in the city limits of Boulder. So nothing ever happened. So I got my free one. I took it as I got out of the system, and I got the fuck out of there. I tried to make the best of my life. I gave up a daughter that I tried. I paid my child support. I did everything I was supposed to do by the book, but she didn't want me to be a father. Now she don't want no contact. I live with that every day. That was part of my punishment for being in the system and for being a fucking dumb criminal. But I was in the system for 14 years. It started with a quarter ounce of weed in New York City, probation. And then I got picked up for possession of stolen tools, probation. Possession of stolen property, probation. And then I went to Colorado. And in Colorado, I didn't get arrested. Then I went back to Jersey. And I kept getting arrested, but nothing, no charges pressed. I got arrested like 6 times in New York City. For possession of stolen shit, blah, 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 blah. But I always had an out. And then I went to Colorado, and that's when it started. I started with a fucking going through a school zone. A 20-mile-an-hour school zone. I didn't see the light blinking, so it's 35. That's how it starts, guys. It's constant. You're listening to music. You got weed in you. You're looking around like an asshole. I didn't see the flashing light. I started with that. I didn't go to court. Okay? I blew off the fucking court case. Guess what? 3 months later, I'm driving with a car with stickers on the fucking window. I get pulled over. They get me with the warrant and the fucking quarter ounce of weed in my sock. Now I'm in the system. Now I'm doing a drug program. That motherfucker ain't done but a fucking week. And I'm back in the fucking county jail for kidnapping and aggravated fucking robbery and burglary and accessory to a felony. You know, it didn't stop. And then after I got out of that on bail, while I was out on bail for that, I got arrested for shoplifting. Thank God I told my friend's name. And then I went back and did probation under his name. At the fucking HIV fucking house.
That's what a friend does.
It did not end, Lee. And then I came up to fucking Seattle. And within 6 months, I got arrested up there for assault and domestic fucking violence. And then possession of a stolen car. And then assault again. And then, no, it never ended.
How did you come into the possession of a stolen car?
I worked at a car dealership. The bank came on Thursday. I had the car out. The bank didn't see the fucking car and they reported it stolen. They had me in a different car, in a different demo. I spent a weekend in jail for possession of a stolen car.
Oh my God.
The charges got dropped. Those 2 days I did was not for that. It was for something else, karmically. Karmically, it was for something else I had done. So I spent from fucking Friday to fucking Monday morning in fucking county jail in Seattle. And then they dropped the charges Monday afternoon. I was back out Tuesday. Then I got arrested for an assault. Then I got arrested for a parole violation.
You got a lot. You got a hell of a lot of chances. I'm talking about...
It didn't stop. It didn't fucking stop. Once you're in the system and you're banging, and I was banging lightly. Like, after I did the kidnapping time and I got out for that shit, I was like, all right, I'll bang on the line. Like, I'll just bang on the line. If you need coke, I'll sell you an ounce, but I ain't selling you two. You know what I'm saying? There's 1,000 things I ain't gonna fucking do. But there's 1,000 things I had to do. I was getting into comedy, I was broke, and that's all I knew.
Uh-huh.
So you stay in the system, bro. And eventually the system gets worse for you. Now you start doing 5-year stretches. And eventually after your second or third 5-year stretch, guess what, bro? You get a 20-year stretch. And by that time, there goes your life. You spent your life in jail.
Well, I mean, I think this might have been too early for both of you guys, but they have corporate prisons, don't they? So, like, isn't it beneficial to the state to keep you guys coming back at a certain point?
Yeah, it's a business.
Privatized prisons.
Yes. Privatized prisons, there we go.
Prison is a business.
But let me be clear for listeners who may not be familiar with the system. When Joy was doing time, when he was doing all these bids, this was a long time ago when you can do all of that and they gave you all those type of chances. Now, then you come up to my era of doing time where you had people, you know, you come in out the system maybe twice. And then they dropped the three strike law and made you habitual. So if they start compiling things like some of your say if you do some misdemeanors, three misdemeanors gives you a felony.
No, it's like Monopoly where they a house good to a hotel.
Yeah. Now you
that's fucked up.
So, but once you get two felonies, it's time to go.
So when you get two felonies,
you got to move.
Now and then say you catch another felony, that makes you a habitual criminal. So they start at 25 years.
Yeah.
And so if you get that 25 years, and what everybody in the system knows is called that bitch. You get that he gave you that bitch. And then like, man, what you getting, man? Threw that bitch at me. That habitual. And that's 25. And you gotta sit on that. And so now you cut past when I got out, 97, you come all the way up. Now it's 50%. You get on a misdemeanor. You get all these different classes of misdemeanors. They change the law. So if you get a felony charge, you doing more time on the felony now because you got to pull half of it, you know. And then if you get aggravated, it used to be half. Now you have to pull 85%. So people sitting down there longer, you know, is what people not understanding. So if you sit down there, say if you go down, I know how hard it was to go in at 19, come out at 25. Jesus. You know, then just say if you go in at 19 and you come out at 33. You know what I'm saying? And then the thing about that is, as you in this system, you have these how can I explain this? You had these things that happened to you unbeknownst to you. Like, you don't even know that they happen, and you just know what you're trying to avoid. I'm not trying to have all this prison talk. I'm not trying to entertain certain conversation. I'm not trying to be the typical inmate type. So then you get out, but then there's certain things that bother you still that you know are directly from this place. Like, I couldn't, and I still don't go in the restroom and use the restroom without turning on the water.
Why is that?
And I've been out 20 years. So I still need to, psychologically, I still need to hear that noise. Because in prison, it's no private using restroom. Whether you in a cell, somebody walk past your bars and talk to you. Whether you in a tank, somebody come in the tank and talk to you. Whether you in a dorm and there's a bunch of toilets next to you. So it would be a toilet here and there's five other toilets. Then somebody come and sit down like three toilets down and they still a talk to you.
Oh no.
You know, like you not handling it. So it's this, you, and then it's a dormitory. Some people in the shower gambling. Somebody may be taking a shower. Somebody may be washing their hands. You just sitting there with a towel over you with one leg in your pants and one leg out, ready to, you know, reading the book or whatever. And somebody come up and ask you, hey, man, we on the rec yard. You gonna run next. I'm going to pick you. How long you going to be? You know, it's still a conversation. So you become accustomed to noise. And then, like I'm not good with bouncers. Like, I don't, like, people think I'm so antisocial where I don't go to clubs. I don't go to clubs where bouncers feel the need to shake me down. I don't vibe with that. That's too much like prison. Cause you know, in prison, when you locked up, everywhere you go, they trying to shake you down from place to place. So I really don't dig that at all. So I don't go a lot of places. These psychological wounds that you have, you know, I think I got a problem with people thinking they can say anything to me. Like, yo, man, I don't know how you think I'm built, but I'm not built like you think, man. I don't have no weight class. Like, people in society would be like, you know, hey, look, I'm gonna let you make it because, you know, you too small for me. And I'd be like, in my mind, like, but you're not too big for me, though. You don't understand where I come from. And it'll take two more of you, dude, for me to even have a second thought about not beating y'all half to death. It'll take two more people standing next to you. And I'm still going to do it, you know, because I'm way more savage than the normal human being because of the place that I was in. It's like, yo, man, you think I'm in a place where I'm going to let somebody step on me and it's 3,000 people watching, 300 people watching? You crazy. I mean, you step to me, you just step to some problems. You know what I'm saying? And in the free society, you be trying to explain to people like, yo, man, I'm not aggressive. I'm just trying to explain to you how to treat me. I don't give a damn how you treat everybody else. Don't talk to me a certain way. Don't handle me a certain way. Because I didn't let people handle me like that in prison. So what you think you going to do? You don't even, you pose absolutely no threat to me. Like, absolutely, I don't care how many times you in the gym, how many people in your crew that you run with, you're not savage as it is, because I explain to people, this is how prison goes. Simple, and Joe, you can attest to this. It's three types of people in prison. You have what you call wolves. They run in packs. You have lions. They stand by themselves. And you have lambs who get devoured by packs, by wolves and lions. Now, the problem is this. Now you got a wolf that gets separated from his pack. He can become a lamb. But a lion, he's been rolling by himself the whole time. So it doesn't matter which prison he go to and where he go and how many people he face, he's still a lion. And to take him down, you have to rip his mane off and cut his balls off, cut both his paws off, rip his eyes out, and he's still going to try to bite you. Then you got to take his teeth out. And he's still growling. He's never going down without, you got to, man, you know how much it takes to take down a lion by itself? When you try to come take his pride, like, come, all right, come over here. He just be what? Come over here and see what happens.
So you better bring
some hyenas, an elephant, a rhino, and some more.
Crazy that you said that, because I was 25 when I went in, and I got to tell you something. I was a wolf, but my success in prison was I aligned myself with the black lion who loved me until this day. What did I just say before? What time it is? I stole that from him. I don't steal lions from people that I don't love like that.
Chicken Hawk.
Like Chicken Hawk. His name was Antoine Spence. I still think about him. You know, you were saying something, dog, about showers. I was in the barracks where everybody in the kitchen worked. And the lion was Antoine Spence, a chicken heart. Dude is there. I can see it by his face. Dude is there, but we'll leave him alone. That's my brother. I'll take care of him. I'm in charge here. I'm in charge of this one. I'll take him. We'll take him to eat and do everything. That's my brother. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. But that was my luck. Now, here's the funny thing, that there was a bunch of lambs and there was a bunch of fake wolves. Like there was a biker wolf. But he was a fake motherfucker, because I knew that the white wolf, and he wasn't a KKK wolf. See, you still got the other white dude that's a KKK wolf. Mm-hmm. Then you got the other dude that's a biker wolf, okay? The biker wolf, his posse was weak. I knew that from day one, from looking at him. He killed the guy, involuntary manslaughter in a bar, the weapon, the whole thing. But I could tell he was living off reputation. The KKK white dude, he didn't fuck around. But the reason why he dug me was he did H. He did H, mm-hmm. And I fed him. I used to take care of him. But he was no threat. The KKK dudes in there weren't dick. John Clark, that was a white dude that you'd respect. Like, he was one of those white dudes that you look at and go, motherfucker's just cool. Like De Niro in Heat. When he saw the black dude and him, and they knew each other, like they were down, like, you know, this white boy's solid, though. I don't give a fuck what anybody said. It's like when John Gotti went to prison, he teamed up with the brothers. That was unheard of. They were half the beef that they had with him was that John Gotti went to Sing Sing and joined bases with the brothers. He didn't give a fuck about color. He came from hunger, and those were his partners. So he joined up with this black lion up in Sing Sing. A lot of people don't know that about John Gotti. John Gotti was bad like that. He was just a cool white dude. Like, look at the way he dresses and shit.
Dapper Don.
So John Clark was that white dude. John Clark was that white dude. Like, I still think of John Clark. He was my brother in that. But Antoine Spence and John Clark were tight. They didn't play that black-white shit. They were tight. They loved each other. Then you had the one dude, you know, they hate white people. Click.
Everybody.
That's the one black click. That's like a small click.
Like the black
Israelites. And they got glasses, and they always try to drop knowledge on you. They always try to be the dude from that band that's dropping knowledge on you. What's the Chuck? Not Chuck B, but the other guy.
Chuck D?
No.
Public Enemy?
No.
KRS-One.
KRS-One. They're all like that. You know, you hanging out with the opposite brother, you know, that type of shit. I'm hanging out with black people, you're still mad. Jesus Christ.
So
Jesus Christ. Oh my, I can see if I don't talk to black people. I work in the motherfucking kitchen and you still give me a hard time. Yeah, because you're hanging out with those weird hunkies. What difference does it make? What difference does it make?
So, who's harder to deal with? As for like a lamb, is the wolf or the lion? Like, I imagine maybe the lion doesn't mess with people unless he's messed with. I don't know. Like, how does it work?
The lion don't mess with nobody. It's really weird. The lions I ran with didn't mess with nobody. They kept it smooth. Nobody messed with them. And they took a cut from time to time and shit that was going on. But not that, you know, people just knew Antoine. They knew he was, first of all, he was in charge of the kitchen. He was from New Orleans. He wasn't very intelligent. But when you spoke to him, he was cool and he was funny. Bro, I learned a lot in my stint and when I got locked up. I learned a lot.
No, dude.
You too?
Not. I learned from under. Oh my God!
And mostly about people.
Yes.
People. What and people are made of, and what makes people tick.
And how to be diplomatic.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
How to deal with people, and it's the weirdest thing when you inside. How much you learn from old men. Old men take you under their wing, and they give you that understanding. Hey, man, look, you need. Everybody, you need everybody in here, so you got to understand the different when you a lion, it's different ways to become a lion. Wait, a lot of different ways.
Okay,
like
can there be young lions?
Oh yeah, okay. I was a young lion, very young lion, and the problem is this: is how you become a lion when everybody take interest in you and what he said. Let me tell you the number one thing that. Brings people together. It's what they call kitma. Food. Pots and pans. Anytime you can break bread with somebody, you can bring them together. In prison, what do we do the most? Spread. We ate together. We always ate together. You don't leave nobody hungry in prison.
Give me a hand, brother. I don't care what hand you give me. Last night, I'm a 60-minute type of motherfucker on Sundays. You know me? Since day one, 60 minutes is my shit. But last night, I was not there at 7 to control the TV. So the girls janked my shit. And they put on America's Funniest Videos. And the first thing I was sitting there, I went right back to 1987, the first weekend I was in prison. That's what white people watch. Like the real white dudes, the ones that are in there for DUIs and shit like that. That's what the channel they all watch in their cells. I hooked up with a white dude that was in college the first weekend I was there. But I couldn't watch America's Funniest Videos. Black people and Mexicans, they're America's most wanted type motherfuckers on Sundays. That's our shit. Don't be saying a motherfucking word because I might know one of these homies and shit.
Just want to watch and see we who's
just,
doing that.
Yeah, we just doing it.
Look at this dumb motherfucker going to run. Like, and it's always somebody like, ain't you in here for the same thing? I ain't even do my shit like that.
Yeah,
though.
I didn't do my My shit was clean, dog. My white bitch hooked me up.
But you still locked
this up. This white bitch fucked me up. And it was funny because I hung out in the AIDS unit.
Oh, my God.
And it was every color. It didn't matter. The AIDS unit was every fucking color.
Everything.
And there was one black dude who was already losing patches of hair. He was in bad shape. But I used to make him laugh. You know what I'm saying? I used to make him go back there and I'd say shit to him that I learned when I came from Cuba. Black history. And I used to make him laugh and shit. And he would get up and I'd go, you know what? I did something good today. Even though I was in prison, I did something good. And let me tell you what else I did when I was locked up. I used to fucking sell. This dude used to make nachos. He was a fat Italian dude. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't get through to the blacks and the Mexicans. They didn't like him. You know, he was a mafia dude. But he was cool, but he was so introverted that he didn't know. He would make the nachos. Only a few people sold nachos. That motherfucker made me his partner. I made him a millionaire in that motherfucker, dog. And then the gambling, I made him a millionaire. He could only move one card on a Monday night. I had him moving three cards, Monday, Sunday, Saturday, college football. I had him betting hockey. I had white people betting hockey.
People don't know how big gambling is in prison.
Oh, my God.
Like, the numbers is still big.
I was killing them in there with football cards. Killing them.
Like, I'm talking about, do you understand? You can become prison kingpin with running a good gambling game. It's like West Indian Archie, Malcolm X type numbers game. It's like was Dutch Schultz numbers, because the number, the running the gambling is in Mexicans do it well too, because they pots be big, it be crazy, and you just, man, it's insane.
It's insane.
What happens if you get transferred to another prison? What happens to all your debts?
Man, you spread food around. You make sure you got stamps so you can reload up.
But here's the other thing. Let's say I'm going to a place that ain't cool. I'm tight with my brother. He's going to contact him. He's going to write him a letter the first thing and tell him, my dog is on his way. When he gets there, give him what you got.
You can send mail between prisoners?
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
In those days. I don't know about now.
The way we do it now is he know where he going. Are you going to
I'm going to Camp George West. I'm going to Reich, whatever.
Yo, you going to Joe? Hey, look, you gonna get there. It's gonna be this cat. His name asked for him, and if he not there, you ask for something. So they gonna send. You gonna have a name, and people gonna know who saying what and sending it, because you wouldn't be able to ask for this person because you wouldn't know they was there. You wouldn't just randomly know that they was there. See, so we sending the word through him. So he ain't got it. And then we sending word with some other people. Hey, you going with you going? Because you're not catching the chain by yourself. You know, you other people gonna be on the chain. Yo, wherever y'all going, you make sure you look out for money. And we gonna make sure we check, because we know where he going. He already told us where he was going.
I know that. Like, there's no question. I'd be a lamb. But I have a problem. I trust the wrong person. Like, I trust everybody. How do you know who to trust in prison?
Nah, your instinct's better than that.
There's a way you could become that you are a lamb, but there's a way you become a useful lamb and people don't fuck with you.
Exactly.
But does it involve, like, butt stuff? Like, I don't want to be gay.
Okay, the librarian. Right. You're the librarian in my prison.
Oh, yeah, I can do that.
He the writ writer. He's the grievance writer.
He's the grievance writer.
Yep.
So guess what? You make yourself valuable. You're
okay.
Jewish.
Oh, okay.
You figure out how to make money for the
And
lines.
You work in the front office.
When you figure out how to make money for people, ain't nobody gonna
Let me tell you.
That's it. Nobody touches this. You. Money is everything.
Here we go. This is, you work in the front office.
Right.
This is what you have access to. And I am an SSI. And I have access to the hallway, which have access to you. Joey just got a case. He got a case. The officer writes it up. It's going to the front office. How you gonna figure out? How Joey gonna figure out how to get to you to tell you to get that paper? He gonna talk to me. Hey, Joey gonna say, boom, boom, boom. I'm coming down the hallway. I'm gonna say, yo, my man Joey got a case, X, Y, and Z. We got 3 cans of soup, 2 bags of coffee. We got a little situation. We got to get that paperwork. Then all of a sudden, this paperwork ends up under my broom. And then I say, hey, John, boom. That's your, I'm not telling you that I got rid of it. I'm handing him his case. He can tear the case up. They don't never know where the case came from, because prisoners run the prison unbeknownst to everybody. If prisoners ever just decided, hey man, today is that day, what they gonna do? It's not even possible. You can't stop it.
Even now with all the cameras, you can still do stuff like that?
Man, you can do whatever you want to do.
You see what happened on Rikers Island?
No, what happened?
The fucking guards in the hospital, they fractured his spine with a punch to the head, some gang members. To have the camera or him just getting fucking shot.
Well, they're getting cell phones now, and like people have like Instagram accounts, like they're all like, I swear to God,
posting pictures of himself in his cell. Y'all see what we're
they do videos.
Going. Like, man, I don't give a damn what you're doing locked up. I wish you would post a picture of you locked up. That would be the first time you see some thumbs down on your damn thing.
See, when I walked in, the first people who came to me were the two biker dudes. They both came to me with the story that they were from New York and shit. And we got you here, hang out with me, blah, 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 blah. I didn't trust them at first. I don't trust nobody. Just like what you said. I don't trust nobody. I talk to you. Yeah, whatever. Right. And then when I got a job in the kitchen, the black dude, Antoine Spencer, pulled me aside and said, stay away from those dudes. They're fucking junkies. They got the kiss of death on them. One minute they're your friends, the next minute they're going for your money.
How old was he?
How old was who?
Antoine Fisher.
When I was 25, Antoine had to be 48. Gold tooth.
Exactly.
Fucked up natural.
Exactly.
But
a old man.
The older dude was the dude who dropped knowledge. The barber. He cut your hair with a straight razor.
Malik.
And, oh my
that's
God.
That's my Malik. That's
oh
my God. Malik. Straight razor
I
the comb.
I learned a lot of lessons from that dude. Because him and whatever, he was a lion in his own way. He wasn't involved in nothing, but he was a lion. Nobody dared to touch him.
Nobody dared to touch him.
So the dude, the librarian, was a geek, but he had murdered somebody. So people knew not to fuck with him, but he was still a geek.
Yep.
Those guys, the biker dudes, there was two dudes that were piranha. There was three groups that were really piranha on people. The Mexicans, the KKK, and the biker white dudes. Once the biker white dudes, and I started, once I aligned myself with the kitchen, which is basically John Clark and some cool black dudes that wasn't involved in nothing, I was cool. Once I was in the kitchen, I was cool. I had it down. I knew when the good food came in. I knew what was shitty. I knew what to tell my brothers. I knew who wanted extra red beans.
And you know.
I knew who wanted a piece of cornbread.
And
you follow me, you start learning.
So you make yourself useful. That's the main thing.
You never had to ask for protection.
Never.
You never. It's never somebody trying to take your manhood. It's simply you a friend. And if somebody dare put their hand on you, people know you got something to deal with. And it's not just you. It's another. It's a lot. I think, man, in prison, people understand, like, whatever your viewpoint is about black people, brown people, whatever you want to call us, if you in dire straits, this is my thing. Have you ever walked down through a black neighborhood? We just look at you. We not attacking you. We just look at you like, you must be crazy. What are you doing over there?
My ex-girlfriend lived in Inglewood where they filmed Training Day. So, like, there were groups of guys who would sit out. It blew my mind the first time I saw it. They were just sitting on turned over shopping carts, mm-hmm. and just hanging out, and they were just the drug dealers, like, and apparently, like, they were well known. They would help her elderly mother with groceries. They were nice. They didn't mess with anybody, but they were always there.
Mm-hmm.
I never felt unsafe. I wouldn't really go that late at night, though, to be honest. But fucking in the middle of the day, it wasn't scary.
But you still went over.
Oh yeah,
because something can happen to you in the middle of the day. You know, we how many things we did in the middle of the day, George.
That was my working hours. I worked 24 hours. I didn't give a fuck.
Crime is crime.
You want me to tell you something, Millie? If I tell you, I'm going to tell you guys one of my most embarrassing stories ever growing up. Ready for this? It doesn't involve molestation, nothing like this. Let me tell you how crazy I was when I was 8 years old. From the age of 8 to 11, I got shaken down on the way into the house and on the way out of the house.
For what?
Everything. That's how crazy I was. My mother caught me with a knife when I was 8 on a Sunday. That was when everything changed for me. That's when I went, maybe 7, she caught me with a James Bond knife. Put in Bond 1970 knives. See if they got them. Just to show you what I had in my pocket when I was 7 years old.
This is what
just to show you the frame of mind I got. Because I lived on 88th Street with white people. But on the weekends, I go to 148 with my Santeria godmother. And I would run with these crazy fucking, it was every ethnicity, you know, except fucking white. And these guys hustled for a living. They did everything. So I got caught with one of these knives and my mother had it. The one on the way at the end, the red. See that red one there? That thing in the red thing? That's an old Bond knife. When I was 7, I had one of those. There you go. New York history. There you go, motherfuckers. Who the fuck do you think you're dealing with?
Yo, let me tell you.
1970s New York City punk rock scene.
I kicked out the
7 years old, people. That's what I carried on me.
That's what I had.
I want you to look at that when I was seven. So my mother caught me on a Sunday with that. And that was the end of that. Not to mention I had the knife. I had $50 cash. You know, I had comic books. She's like, what the fuck are you doing? Where the fuck are you getting this fucking money from? And I go to the fucking bar. Every time I go to the bar, so she told all her friends this. I was put on Shakedown, which they told all my friends not to give her. They were not allowed to give me money. Some of them listened to her. Some of them would still give me a 20 on the side when she wasn't watching. So I would take the money I would make and go up to 148 on the weekends and go crazy. And I went into a store and bought that knife. They sold me that knife in a fucking store when I was 7 years old.
How much do you think it cost?
It was $10 to $7. I don't, whatever the fuck it cost, it didn't matter. So after that, when I would leave for school in the mornings, I would get shaken down. And let me tell you something, that didn't stop me. I used to have to roll up my pants. You know how you roll up your pants? I used to hide the money in there. They caught me. I did everything. They caught me every time. Then I started hiding shit outside the house. I didn't get trusted till I was probably 13. And even then, they knew I was hell on wheels.
At what point, this is what my special is about. I'm trying to get those that was inside. At what point do you say to yourself, enough is enough? Because I like my cousin. My cousin is one of these people who he pulls up on the life board of all the trouble that you can get yourself into. He pulls up everything. And he doesn't pick one thing. He picks several things. I pick drug dealing. I say, well, I sell drugs. That's gonna be my bad thing that I'm gonna do. But like you said kidnapping, what else?
Aggravated robbery. Second degree burglary.
Burglary.
Accessory to a felony. But over the years, I was just a punk ass thief.
And so
that's what my specialty was for real. But I knew how to sell drugs.
You looked on the board and said, I'm going to pick six things that I'm going to do. My cousin picked like eight. Like he do everything. Like he, and then he get busted with some shit that I didn't even know even existed. They don't, you know, when you get charged with pimping over state lines, they don't charge you with pimping. They charge you with what they call white slavery. It's crazy. He had two white girls that he was pimping, and it's gonna get charged with white slavery. Oh, shit. I said, what type of 1740 law are you a bunch of?
Now, where was this, in Texas?
In California. He got charged.
Okay, so where were the white girls from?
They was from here.
Wait, are you saying it's worse because it was white women?
And he got charged with taking them to Mississippi.
So who charges you with that, Mississippi or California?
Mississippi charges you with that.
Don't bring white women here.
White slavery. Put on Tony Bennett. I got to think of this for a second. This is crazy. I've heard it. That's never been on Law and Order. That's why. They got to make a Law and Order about that motherfucker.
You can't be... Just like, what do they charge you with if you get caught bringing Chinese women through Galveston? They charge you with that.
Asian slavery.
Somebody breaks your heart.
This song came out next Monday. This song is 55 years old.
55 years old.
Came out on my birthday. Can you believe this shit? A couple days before your special, February 23rd, motherfuckers.
You excited about that?
I am excited. I saw the trailer. You got the trailer on there, Lee?
Yeah, I can get it.
Let me give some shout-outs while you get the trailer going. The trailer's fucking spectacular. when your agent called me, who I think the world of, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Then he sent me the trailer. I'm like, oh my God, fucking beautiful. How about Crystal Oates, my main man, happy birthday to you. Dickie Syatt, Lauren Rosenker, Brian Major, George Waugh, Danny Deans, Jose Gama, Josh in Jersey, Kobe Jensen, Cody Jenkins, and Ryan Schwartz. You always got to end with a Jew. You don't want no problems with the Jews. You know what I'm saying? If you get a minute, I want you to go to YouTube and pull in this out. Elisa Deacon's Bigger Than These Bars and watch the trailer. Listen, 20 years ago, he was doing time, guys. Okay, he could have been caught in the city. He could have been 1,000 different places. Now, he knows it. He knows it. That's why when he gets off a plane, he rubs his feet twice when the plane lands. He does every voodoo shit there is, just like Uncle Joey. It's in our blood because we know how lucky we could have been. We could have been in that hole making those videos on lockup with no teeth and shit.
Yeah.
Go ahead, hit it, Lee.
Most people don't know that I was incarcerated for 6 years. That's why I came back to do my special here.
Mm-hmm.
Thank y'all for being here. Now, it's not like y'all had a choice. I played in the over 40 basketball league. Shot the ball, hit the jumper, back went out. You know, when you go out a gym on a stretcher, you know you can never go back to the gym again. It's not a lot of cushion.
I feel every crook, every cranny.
The officer said, I'm going to see about you seeing a judge, but right now we need to put you in this holding cell. I am embarrassed for somebody who got busted the first time with 5 kilos of coke. Now you got me here on a goddamn half a blunt. I'm ashamed of me and you.
Ooh, the boy getting ready.
Are you silly ass stiff all over this bitch?
You know what, man? Comedy Central did a good one this time. They really did, my brother. They really did. I'm very proud of you from the fucking heart. Because people don't understand how hard it is to get out of that fucking system, for Christ's sakes. And you guys know that on the church page on Facebook, you guys go on there and you tell me your stories and you're going to do time or you're hooked on these fucking pills or whatever the fuck. You're going to get past this one day. You're going to get past this, bro. If Ali got past his ghost and I got past mine, you'll get past yours, I promise you. But it's just not going to happen. You got to work on it a little bit. You got to show up on this fucking thing to make it better, bro.
You got to show up.
I don't want to hear about your racist shit and all your other shit. That's bullshit. When you're on a mission, you're on a mission. They don't care what color you are. When you're on a mission, you're on a mission. So please, don't insult my fucking intelligence. I look like a fucking gorilla. I'm 100 pounds overweight. You know what I'm saying? Stop. Stop. It's time to fucking go for it. It's February 2018. People go to prison all the fucking time. You want to sit in that motherfucker? Sit in that motherfucker. But there's another side to this. You know, they put you on this planet to go on a fucking do something good. You know, like, to do something fucking good. You know how shitty I felt for years being in that fucking system? Being shaken down by my mother? When I was a kid, I used to have to put my hands up like a fucking animal. Are you fucking kidding me or what? Ali Sadiq in this motherfucker.
Did you have like a metal detector?
Look
too?
At homie. Homie's down. Down but not out. He's not pulling the Sarah Tiana. He didn't know when old Benjamin got up and walked out of here. You know what I'm saying? Homie's just sitting there. Look at him like Marvin Gaye in 71. I don't give a fuck, Jack. I don't give a fuck. I'm living in Belgium. That's where he lived. See, he went to Belgium for a reason.
That's kind of fishy, isn't it?
No, he went to do drugs. He was a junkie.
Oh, okay.
He got pissed off. He went to Motown. He wanted the same freedom that Stevie Wonder had on his albums to create. He didn't want to do no fucking doo-wop shit with that chick no more. What was the girl's name? Marvin Gaye and...
Tamria. No.
No, you know who I'm talking about.
Marvin Gaye and... God damn it.
He didn't want to do that no more. So he wanted the same freedom as fucking Stevie Wonder had.
Tammy Terrell.
So he went and he fucking naturally put on this... And did you ever see that video of him...
On the couch.
Yeah, him singing, laying down and shit, like fucking nothing.
We played it last time I was
yeah,
here.
Yeah, okay. I love him. That's why.
You won't play it again? Because I can see it again.
No, because I'm going to think about fucking these stories.
Do you know I called
and I'm
going to
get up and stab a motherfucker in the middle of the night. I don't want to hear this shit that he was gay. I haven't.
Do you know I called you when Moses passed?
Yes, I think you did.
Yeah.
We spoke, man. Yeah.
I don't know why. You was the first person I thought about when Moses passed. And I was with him like the week before. And I thought about you. And another thing I thought about when I was in Minnesota, because they love you in Minnesota too.
Yeah, yeah. The church comes out in Minnesota, dog. In full effect. Oh, the church comes out at the house in Minnesota. They're fucking good people.
One of these days I'm gonna get you in Houston for 420, man.
I'm in Columbus. They already got me motherfucking Columbus.
Every year, man,
we'll do something in Houston. I like going to Houston, man. And I gotta take Lee for a few days. Lee gotta go to Houston. I take him to Austin. I've been promising in Houston for a couple fucking years. I feel bad.
He says I'm not going to come home.
He's not going to come home. That's what I'm scared of. I'll lose him.
I keep hearing you talk about you doing this Weight Watch thing.
I'm down to 291.
No way.
I started at 309 December 9th, and I weighed in tonight. I'm
291. That 299 was fucking with you for like months.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was holding on. And then she told me, I went in there and I lost a pound. And I go, I was heartbroken. She goes, you flew 2 weeks in a row, so you retain water when you fly.
And so you want me? I promise you something. I promise you something. You and the flying Jew together don't have to work out or nothing. You want me to boost it and get you down about 12 pounds without doing nothing.
Absolutely.
And just call me if it worked for you. Just call me and just say, you did it.
Can I do it like 10 times?
Huh? No, yeah, I'm gonna tell you something real quick just to do. It's a herbal laxative.
Ooh.
Listen to me.
I'm in for it.
Herbal laxative. I
got a me tushy, I'm good.
Swiss Chris. Get you a bottle of Swiss Chris.
Oh my God.
Listen to me. Follow these directions very, very carefully. Only take it at night before you get ready to go to bed. Just take it at night. Start off with four. Just take four pills at night before you go to bed. Then do that for 1 week.
Okay.
Then the second week, break it down to two pills every night before you go to bed.
Oh.
You don't have to do nothing. Just do that.
Right.
And call me in 2 weeks.
So four pills every night before you go to bed for how long?
A week.
A week.
A week. And then after that, what is it?
Two pills.
Two pills.
Am I going to shit the bed, Ali?
Nope.
You just wake up in the morning and go to town. All that old stuff comes out.
Yep.
Well, you're going to lose 100 pounds. That's all you
and it's going. And it's going to be...
You're 100 it's pounds be of bad
the,
meat.
All the bad toxins and that you don't need and all the bad gases that you don't need. And I'm telling you.
I don't know if my Swiss house is insured for this.
No,
Swiss Chris.
Swiss Chris.
I'm gonna look it up right now.
Yep.
Get two bottles, Lee.
It worked.
Oh, I know. I believe it too.
Watch and see. And I'm telling you, pull up any old pictures or old videos of me see how heavy I was. And then I did the Chris Swiss.
How are your like kidneys? Is this okay? Like you gonna shit everything out?
Is my blood pressure go up? Shit like that.
It's on Amazon.
It's in Walgreens and definitely in Walgreens. Yeah, right there.
It's $11. I'm gonna lose 12 pounds.
No, $8. Watch this. The $8 right there. And let me tell you what's funny. When I first started using it, you know how much this bottle costs?
How much?
$4.
So people
actually found out about the big bottle. The big bottle was $8. You look at it now, it's like $11 a night, $15, $13 in some places. People found out about this, and then it doubled because that shit actually works without no type of side effects, nothing. You not tripping. You just really releasing all the stuff that you actually don't need. And then your body just energizes itself out of nowhere.
What if I come in like 40 pounds lighter next week? That's crazy.
Wait, you eat 200 of those.
And what's crazy.
They make you burp, any side effects. They have a burp, fart in the middle of the night.
Once you take it, it just works on you at night while you sleep. You don't have to do nothing. Then when you get up in the morning, it flushes you. Then you do that same thing every night. It flushes and it starts to flush all those, it pushes all those old meals. And so then every time you eat, you will see that you start going to the restroom. So now your body starts to go back into the actual cycle that it was when you was a child, which when you was your healthiest. One meal in, one meal out. You're not keeping nothing. You're not keeping nothing sitting in your stomach rotten, causing all these gases and all the rest. You flushing everything out. And then you'll notice this is where you'll drive around trying to find somewhere to park close. Your body is so energized, wherever you see a parking space, you will just park and you'll just walk. And you would naturally start doing it. Before you know it, your pants don't fit. And you like, this is
how often can I do this cleanse? Can I just do it for a month straight? Can I juice like with just Swiss Chris all night? Oh my God.
And you can't.
There you go, people. There you go. You learn something new on the church every fucking time. You learned about prison. You learned about Swiss Chris. I'm going to give it a try because I believe in this too. I believe in this type of stuff.
And I did it and I got 32 pounds off myself.
Oh my God. And how long?
It was like maybe 3 months, and I've been fluctuating in between 143 and 150 for at least 4 or 5 years now.
How often do you do a Swiss Chris run?
And when every time I feel like I've eaten bad, which I don't really eat bad anymore, I do a Chris Swiss thing, and then I start doing it with other people. When I turn them on to say, no, I'm doing it with you, so you know, hey, and then I get too thin and then I stop because it just flushes you, man.
Well, I can think about a Swiss Miss right now.
Something chocolate
with marshmallows in it. And you get extra marshmallows and dope it up.
Oh, you gotta, because those stupid small marshmallows are terrible.
Oh, and still had that. You want it, have
it. I could drink it. That's what I was thinking. I would drink Swiss Chris with Swiss Miss. But
hey, man. Sounds good. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you, bro.
I'm really proud of your journey. I'm happy you got on tonight. I know you're back in the valley tomorrow, right? You're up here with Bert tomorrow morning.
I'm back out in the
valley. So I'll swing by Bert's afterwards and say hello, holler at you guys.
He's not going to have on the shirt. I know he's not.
No, that's all right. Just... He has a nice family. You've done his podcast before.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, I love it.
And we all got your back. Tweet it out. And we'll tweet it, you know. We'll live watch it.
One day I'm gonna complete the trifecta. I'm gonna get all of y'all, you know, you, Ari, Bert, and I'm gonna finally try to crack Joe Rogan. If I get all of y'all, I've actually accomplished.
How about 3 out of 4? On our podcast.
Yeah, I've been on your podcast twice. I've been on Bert's twice. I've been on Ari's twice. I've never been on Joe's.
I will try to get you on Joe's.
And I'd be like this. I got the four horsemen. I got the four horse. Because that's all people say. You need to do Joe. I'm like, I've been on all the rest of them. I'm satisfied.
I didn't know. I thought you did Joe's when you were here for one of the tapings. Ari got you on there. I didn't know.
I've never done Joe's.
Because Ari would always try to get you on and do something, man. Any dates you got coming up?
Oh, man, I'm in D.C. The 15th through the 18th. At the D.C. Improv.
That's a good little club, man. That ceiling is low in there.
Yeah, man.
It's small. It's perfect. They got good food in the fucking neighborhood. It's a nice little place.
They got legal bud.
And I'm
happy to be there. It's my first time coming there by myself. I've been there with DL. I've been there with Bill. But it's the first time people get a chance to see that, you know, I'm not just a comic. I'm more of a storyteller. And my show is more like theater. It's like a play. And, you know, I'm going places, you know, and I don't want people to be trapped in the one, whatever they think comedy is. You know, everybody's show is different. Your show is different from my show. My show is different from DL's show. Your show is different from Ari's show. Everybody has their own show. So don't box me into what you already have some notion. Because some people will be upset that I don't do prison stories. And some people will be upset that, oh, why he not running around? I'm like, that's not who I am. You know, I'm who I am. Just like with my special, you know, I'm being the same person. If you see the trailer, you see I'm sitting down. So don't be surprised when I walk out sitting down. If you saw my half hour, I sat down on my half hour. That's who I am. Sometimes I walk out and sit down. And people are like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. Are you okay? Obviously, you've never seen me before. What, you was walking past and decided to walk in here? You know, because this is actually who I am. You sitting down. People are very arrogant at comedy clubs. Very arrogant. And my show is my show. And I want people to come enjoy what I do and not expect me to do what somebody else does.
You got a webpage. They go and get dates and whatnot after your special. I'm sure you want to tour. People want to see, you know, they want to touch you.
Most of my dates are on my Instagram, Ali Siddiq. My website is Ali Siddiq, AliSiddiq. And Ali_speaks is my Twitter. Facebook is Ali Siddiq. So, you know, you want to see where I'm at. I post everything up. You know, I'm in Philly. Then I'm back in Houston. Then I'm in, I'm in DC first, then I'm in Philly, and I'm very excited about coming to the Punchline in March, man. That's a place that I've always wanted to play any Punchline, because one, even though they say whatever he did, because Richard Pryor was big in Punchlines, and I still want to do them, man. That's big to me.
And I'm just happy that you're moving forward, and you're still beautiful, and you got to stop by. That's it. I'm happy for you, man. Congratulations again. Comedy Central.
Man.
February 23rd, Ali in the Friday. Motherfucking house. Friday.
Friday,
that's right.
Man. It's Friday.
So this Friday? No, the week.
The week
after President's Day, after my birth. I'll remind you, motherfucker. Don't worry about nothing.
Man, you know I have a billboard on Sunset Los Angeles.
Do you really?
Dead serious. They put a huge billboard up.
Right. Yeah, how many pictures did you take of it?
Man, we took so many pictures every day. It's all on my Instagram. Me running up the street when I first saw it. It's crazy, man. I got a bill. And then I'm going to New York because I'm going to do the opposition and DC Mero on Vice. And they have two billboards up in Times Square. So I'm excited just to go and see it, man.
That's what I'm talking about, baby, man. Boy. Congratulations.
Thank you, brother.
Again, if he comes to your neighborhood, give him some love. Don't forget to watch the special February 23rd. And I'll remind you, I want to thank Ali Siddiq for coming back on the show. And don't forget a special February 23rd on Comedy Central. But now, for a word from our sponsor. Blue Apron is the leading meal kit delivery service in the U.S. And while many people know what we do, many don't know about the types of meals you eat when you cook with Blue Apron. You're not just having burgers for dinner. You're making short rib burgers with hoppy cheddar sauce on a pretzel bun. You're preparing seared steak with thyme pan sauce, with mashed potatoes. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Blue Apron is the leading meal kit delivery service in the U.S., and while many people know what we do, they don't know about the strip steaks with the potatoes and the spicy maple collard greens, a steakhouse favorite. Listen, Blue Apron delivers fresh, proportioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes right to your door that can be cooked in under 45 minutes. The menu changes every week based on what's in season and is designed by Blue Apron in-house culinary team. Blue Apron offers 12 new recipes per week. Do you understand me? You're never bored. And customers can pick 2, 3, or 4 recipes based on what best fits their schedule. Blue Apron sends only non-GMO ingredients and meat with no added hormones. We want to hear about food. You know, listen. We all eat dinner, but we believe with Blue Apron, we make incredible home cooking accessible for any night of the week. We have a team of professional chefs that put a lot of care into creating recipes for you. And listen, cooking together, that's what family is all about. That's number one. Number two, they have family plans and they have two-people plans, correct?
Yes.
You always get the two-person plan.
They give you two of each recipe, yes.
Two of each recipe. So here you go. Blue Apron is treating our family, the church, you people, listeners, to $30 off your first order if you visit blueapron.com/Joey. $30. So check out this week's menu and get $30 off. Let me tell you what the menu is, all right? Jasmine spicy chicken with stir-fried vegetables with jasmine rice. Creamy fusilli bucata pasta with fried rosemary and walnuts. Are you kidding me or what? Listen to this one. Soy glazed Korean rice cakes. What? With broccoli and soft-boiled eggs and strip steak potatoes with spicy maple collard greens. Listen, this is what I'm going to do. Like I said, Blue Apron's treating you to $30 off your first order if you visit blueapron.com/Joey. So you got the menu. Go to Blue Apron. It's a better way to cook. Number two, listen, I go on the road. I drop raises, ba-ba-boom, ba-ba-bum. I've had Harry's for like 4 months now. The best, I mean, from the shape to the reliability and the price. But listen, Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price, which is why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys who were fed up with getting charged an arm and a leg for razor blades, started Harry's to fix shaving. Harry stripped out the unnecessary features, vibrating handles, heating blades, 15 lubricating strips, you know, all that stuff, and the unnecessary cost to deliver customers one perfect razor at an amazing price. A good shave comes down to good blades, right? Right or wrong? Because Harry owns the factory, and they're able to deliver the amazing quality blades for just $2 a blade compared to the $4 you'll pay at the drugstore. And all products are backed by 100% money-back guarantee. Listen to me. Harry is so confident you're going to leave your blades, throw them away, like done, like you know. They'll give you the trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/church. All you do is pay for shipping. That's it. Listen, it's a free trial offer from Harry's today, right now. $13 value for free when you sign up. All you got to do is cover shipping. You know what they're going to send you? A weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade. Where are you going to get that at? Plus, a rich lathering shave gel and a travel blade cover. Are you kidding me or what? To get your free trial, go to harrys.com/church right now. That's harrys.com/church.com. harrys.com/church. And this podcast is also brought to you by Sunset Herbal, one of my favorite fucking weed stores in the world. They're open up at 6 a.m. to 10 o'clock at night. They got everything you need, if you know what I'm talking about, okay? You know what I'm talking about. You want to be solid? You want to run with the fucking savages? Go to Sunset Herbal. If Sky is working, you get a free fucking joint on Uncle Joey. That's how we roll it, all right? So I want to thank Harry's.com one more time. I want to thank BlueApron.com one more time. I want to thank Sunset Herbal one more time. Ali Sadiq. I want to thank the Christ Killer. Don't forget Wednesday's Ash Wednesday. I'll tell you what I'm giving up tomorrow. I haven't figured it out yet, but I'm giving up something. It ain't going to be edibles like last year. That was a mistake. I'll never give up edibles again. I got to deal with this shamook over here. Anyway, I love you cocksuckers. See you Wednesday. Alabama, I'm coming home to you. 10th Planet Decatur is coming down. Go to fucking standuplive.com right now. Go to we're going to Huntsville. Uncle Joey's coming to Huntsville. That's it. It's a we're fucking, it's all over. Bring the reefer and the fucking shotguns, all right? I'll see you cocksuckers Wednesday. Stay black. I love you. We'll be right back.